Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Meseches Moed Katan has been dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Chof Ches. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Ami, Lama Nismacha Misas Miriam Leparshas Paraduma, Loimer Elecha Ma Paraduma Mechaperes, Af Misasan Shel Tzadikim Mechaperes. Now the Gemara doesn't explain in what way that we are to understand this equation between the kapar of the paraduma and that of misas tzadikim. Tosus here at the top, the Ramaschal Ma, makes reference to the well-known medrash that the kapar of the paraduma is for the chet ha'egel, and the medrash supports this with a mashal. It says, mashal ben ha'mishivcha shetineif patrin shal melech, omer ha'melech tovo imo v'tekaneach achar b'no. That it can be compared to the son of the Shifcha that soiled the palace of the Melech. The Melech declared that the mother should come and clean up after her child. And that's what we're doing when we bring the para, that's the mother, in the mashal, to be mechaper, to clean up for the child, the egel, that was the Chet HaEgel. Now it seems that the Medrash that Tosus here quotes is defining the word mechaperes not in the standard way of translating it as atonement, but rather in line with that which we find in Rashi, in Parshas Vayishlach. There the Pasuk says that Yaakov sent to Esav the Matana, and he says, Amar achap rapana v'mincha alechas lefanai. Rashi comments here that when we find the word kapara in the context of Avera, then it means kinuach v'havara. Lashin Rashi, v'nir be'inai shekol kapara she'etzel avon v'cheit, lashin kinuach v'havara. It means to clean up, to wipe away. It's not simply atoning, but it's actually getting rid of and wiping away the chet, and that's what we find in the mashal as well, that the melech asked the mother to clean up and wipe away that which the child had made dirty, and that's as well the kapara of the paraduma. Now, in line with this definition of kapara, that it means cleaning up and wiping away the mother doing that for the child, the Ben Yoyada from the Ben Ish Chai explains that's the second half of the mashal. That's the kapara that Mises Tzadikim makes as well. That just as we find that a mother that nurses and nurtures and guides her child, and even when a child gets into trouble, the mother spares no expense and no trouble to clean up for him and to make sure that he goes on the right path and grows up right, so too Tzadikim to that of Klal Yisrael have the same relationship, that they guide us and nurture us and show us the right way, and when the time comes and the Rebbe Shalom takes them away, they also clean up for us. And sometimes Misa Sadiqa is necessary to be Mechaper. In other words, to clean up. We've made a mess in this world. We've done Averos, and we haven't done Tshuva. And Rebbe Shalom needs to clean up the mess. And he says, Tavo Ha'em, Tavo, the one that gave life and gave sustenance and nurtured all of Klal Yisrael, the Hainu of the Tzadikim, he should come to me, Tavo Ha'em, to the Paladrim Shel Melech, and should clean up the mess that we've made. That's the equation between the kapara, the cleaning up, as it were, of the paraduma, and the kapara of Misas Tzadikim. The Gemara here has a sugya regarding the parameters of kares and Misa B'dei Shamayim, which we're familiar with from Chol HaShas. Now, before we analyze exactly what comes out of our sugya about the exact definitions of these onshim, let's just first discuss the shittos in general that we find regarding kares and Misa B'dei Shamayim and the difference between them. The shittos Rashi that we find in Pesecha Shabbos and other places, as well, this would appear to be the shita of the Yesh Mefarshim in Tosus here, Divrei Maaskal Umisa, is that the defining factor which differentiates between Kares and Misa B'dei Shamayim is whether or not the early death of the person is accompanied with the death of his children as well. Rashi understands the lashon of Kares in particular relates to the krisa zaroi, that a person's children do not survive, or a person doesn't have children in the event that he hasn't had until the time that he becomes chayiv kares. And that, in combination with the fact that he dies at an earlier age, apparently between 50 and 60, at least, before the age of 60, that's kares. V'she'en kein misa b'dei shamayim means dying at the age of 50, or between 50 and 60, without krisa zaro, his children are not affected by this punishment. That's the punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's the shita of Rashi and the Yesh Mefarshim here in Tosus Divrei Maaskal Umisa. However, the Riva as quoted in Tosus in Yevamos Daf Beis and in Shabbos Daf Chofei, takes exception to Rashi, and he says that the only types of chiyuvi krisus that are accompanied as well with krisus zara, where the Torah writes ariri, that the karis has a childlessness aspect to it. Only in those particular chiyuvi krisus, include some of the arayas, but most of the chiyuvi krisus don't have an ariri component associated with them. And mela, there's no aspect b'chlal of krisus zara involved in the normal chiyuvi krisus, and that does not differentiate between karis and misib de shamayim. What then does differentiate between them? So the Riva seems to say that krisus, kares, is when a person dies at the age of 50 or between 50 and 60. And misidei shamayim is when a person dies subsequent to that. Now it's not clear in the Riva then exactly how we are to tell if a person has suffered misidei shamayim. And there are three possibilities. One possibility is that the death of a person at the age of 60 exactly, without passing 60, that constitutes misa b'dei shamayim. A second possibility, which the Marsha in the Chiddush HaGadol here on our Sigya raises, and it appears he's going in the Shittas Riva, is that even if he doesn't die at the age of 60, but if he doesn't make it past the age of 70, which the Gemara here says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, is Yimeshin Asena Behem Shivim Shana, that's the standard life of a person, is considered to be 70 years. If a person hasn't made it to there, even though he's made it past 60, so then even though he's cleared Kares, as we find Rav Yosef, after he passed the age of 60, he made a Yom HaTavler Rabbanon, that he's Nafkalei Mikares. But if a person doesn't pass the age of 70, then it's still possible he's suffered the onesh of misa b'dei shamayim. And the third possibility is what Tosus in Yevamos suggests for the Riva, that there isn't any particular age within which a person is said to have been punished with misa b'dei shamayim, but misa b'dei shamayim simply means kitzur yomim, that the days that he was allotted that he's supposed to have lived are shortened, and he dies somewhat early as a result of the onesh that he receives for being over an avera of misib de shamayim. So that's the second shita, the shita sariva, that kares does not entail krisis zaro except where the Torah says it, and rather the difference between kares and misib de shamayim depends on when one dies. Kares is between 50 and 60, and misib de shamayim is subsequent to that, either at the age of 60 or between 60 and 70, or simply suffering a death with kitzur yamim, with a somewhat shortened lifespan. The third shita in the difference between kares and misa shamayim is apparently the Rishalmi, which is encoded here in Tosus, in Divrei Maaseh Lameis and Divrei Maaseh Lemisa, indicates that krisus is when a person dies before the age of 50, and it proves this from the pasuk that is said with regard to the Levim. It says, Al tachrisu shevet ha-kohasi, that to make sure that the kohasim who carried the klei ha-mikdash, not only the Mishkan itself, but the klei ha-mikdash, they should be extra careful to keep the azharas that they're supposed to keep when they do the masa of the kelim, so that they shouldn't suffer kares. And Yerushalmi says, we know that the avoda of the Levim was until the age of 50, so it's clear then that kares can be meted out to a person until 50 and not more. And that's the age of kares. And then, if a person dies at 60 or before 60, then he suffered misa shamayim. The Yerushalmi proves this from the Mesa Midbar that died as a punishment for the chet of the Meraglim. We know that they died at the age of 60. That was a misa shamayim. So apparently, the Yerushalmi seems to hold that that kares is when a person dies before the age of 50, and misa shamayim is when a person dies up until the age of 60. Now, a simple reading of our Gemara would seem to exclude both the pshat of Rashi and the pshat of the Yerushalmi, but would rather be in line with the Riva, because the Gemara says that meis b'chamishim shana zuhi misas kares, and the Gemara in Hemshech as well says that michamishim v'ashishim shana zuhi misas kares, and then after that the Gemara says shishim zuhi misa b'dei shamayim. So that simply would say like the Riva, that a person dying at 50 or dying between 50 and 60, that's kares. And dying at 60, or perhaps subsequent to 60, as the Marshal learned, that would be misa b'dei shamayim. Whereas l'fi Rashi, that kares entails krisus zaro, so no mention of that is made in our Gemara. And l'fi Yerushalmi, the ages are off, because l'fi Yerushalmi, the age of kares is before 50, and the age of misa b'dei shamayim is between 50 and 60. Now, what complicates matters, though, is first of all, the girsa. We have in our Gemara the Girsa of Shishim Zuhi Misa B'dei Shamayim. The Girsa in the Gemara in the Ein Yaakov is Shishim Zuhi Misa Misas Kol Adam. Doesn't say Misa B'dei Shamayim. And moreover, it's clear in Tosfos and both the Tosfos that we mentioned that even if we'll say that the Girsa is Mis De Shemayim, it's an Argemar, but Tosfos takes the words Mis De Shemayim to mean Misas Kol Adam. It's the natural standard death of most people. And the Chiddush Hayavitz picks up on this, and he says that the Gemara does not mean to define for us the Onesh of Mis De Shemayim. He says, Ein HaPirish Kemo B'Mokam Acher, it doesn't mean the Mis De Shemayim that's meted out as an Onesh and an Avera. It means that a person is, Shemayim decided that his time in this world is up and he has Exer Min HaShemayim, not because particularly of any particular Avera that he did, but in Shemayim it's been decided that it's time for him to die, Stam. So then the age for that is considered to be 60 and up, K'misas Rov B'nei Adam. And he as well mentions that it's Muchach and Tosfos that this is the pshat in the Gemara's Lashon of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So once this is the case, the Gemara, in essence, is not really coming to draw a distinction between Kares and Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim our Gemara simply means Misas Kol Adam, just a Gzera from the Shamayim, as the Ayavis explained. So that being said, it could be that Rashi will also learn that our Gemara isn't getting into the difference between Kares and Mis De Shemayim. Rashi agrees that the age of Kares that's described in the Gemara is true, that Kares is an onesh which is meted out when a person dies between 50 and 60, as the Gemara indicates. The Gemara here is not getting into the other aspect of Kares that involved Krisa Zaro. That's what Tosfos as well brings in the Yesh Mefarshim, that the Gemara isn't discussing that. The Gemara is not coming to tell me all the elements which are present in Kares as opposed to Mis B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara is simply coming to tell me the age that Kares can be found. But of course, there could be other aspects of the Onesh which the Gemara here might not be discussing. And so there isn't really any stira from that part of the Gemara against Rashi's pshat in the difference between Kares and Mis B'dei Shemayim. Now, it would still seem, though, that the pashas of the Gemara here, the Bavli, would be against the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to say Kares is until 50, and Mis B'dei Shemayim is up to 60. And here the Gemara seems to say that Kares is from 50 to 60, and Mis B'dei Shemayim is at 60 or perhaps more, as Marshal said. However, the Tosa Rosh in Yevamos Daf Beis says that no, Nuchal Yashiv, we can be Yashiv the Yerushalmi with the Bavli, and he employs the Yisod that we're familiar with regard to Parsha Sota of Schus Tola. We know that sometimes even though the Sota might be guilty and really deserving of the Misa of the Sota, but because of Schus Tola, because of merit she might have, of mitzvahs, the Torah that she did, so to varying degrees the punishment might be pushed off and delayed. And the Tosfos Rosh says the same thing might be true with regard to the Onshim of Kares and Mis B'dei Shemayim as well. But even though the Yerushalmi said that generally speaking Kares is given at the age of 50, however, Pa'amim Shaschus Tola, V'chai La'achar Shishim, La'achar Chamishim, excuse me, Avolo Yagiel Shishim, that a person, if he has Shaschus Tola, can even last beyond the age of 50, but not beyond 60. And that's what our Gemara is saying, that Kares is at the age of 50, or between 50 and 60, in the event of Shaschus Tola, but not beyond that. That would fit well with Yerushalmi. And as well, with regard to Mis B'dei Shemayim, that Yerushalmi said it's at the age of 60, again, Tosfos Rosh says the same thing is true. Pa'amim Shaschus Tola, V'chai La'achar Shishim Ksas, Avomeis, Kodem Zmanu, he can live beyond 60, but he'll die before his allotted time. So that would again fit in with the Yerushalmi, and as well fit in with the Shita Zariva, that at least when it's Chus Tola, the Yerushalmi could agree that all Mis B'dei Shemayim has to mean is dying at a younger age than a person was supposed to. So we've seen Ukeme Miyashiv, really, the Gemara, with all the Shitos, in what Kares and Mis B'dei Shemayim are, Shitas Rashi, that the Gemara here isn't discussing the difference between Kares and Mis B'dei Shemayim, it's simply giving me the age, but not giving me all of the elements that make up Kares. Shitas Riva certainly would be the Pashas in the Gemara, that the difference between Kares and Mis B'dei Shemayim is that Kares is until 60, and Mis B'dei Shemayim is at 60 or beyond. And Yerushalmi as well, with the idea of Schus Tola that Tosa Rosh and Yevamos invokes. There is one more raya that Riva brings against Rashi from Ar Sigya, and that is in that story with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, again, made a Yom HaTov LeRabbanon when he had his 60th birthday. And Abaye asked Rav Yosef, why'd you make your party? And he nafik le mar mikares deshani, mikares diomi mi nafik mar. Even though you've lasted beyond the kares of years, you've passed your 60th birthday, but the Kares of Yomim you haven't. Now, what is the Kares of Yomim? So the Mefarash here says that Kares of Yomim is Shem Yomim's Misa Chatufa. The Gemara earlier had said that if a person dies pisom without prior warning, that's called misas chatufa. The Farish understands that that's the misa of kares diome, that a person is taken in a sudden fashion. Some Rishonim, including the Tosis there in Yevamos, seem to have engrossed in the Gemara that if a person dies after 3 days of illness, that's called misas kares. In any event, that was a wise question on Rav Yosef, that why was he not concerned about kares diome? Now, the Riva asks in Rashi that if there's another part of Kares, that is the Krisa Zaro, that a person's children die, why didn't Abai ask Rav Yosef about that as well? Why didn't he say to him, Nihidid afalei mara mi Kares deshane? It's true that you've lasted beyond the allotted years for Kares, but what about Kares Zaro? Why aren't you concerned about the Kares of your children? From here, the Riva concluded that Rashi is wrong, that Kares is not an element, that Krisa Zaro is not an element of Kares, except where the Torah writes explicitly, Ariri. But the truth is, the Tos Yishanim and Yevamos Daf Beis and Tos Rosh as well answer for Rashi by saying a chiddush, that which Rashi held, that a person's children will be nichras if he's chayiv kares, a krisa zaro, it's only if the children are still ketanim, and they're not responsible for their own maisim. But once a person has banim gedolim, so then we know the klal of ein banim maisim ba'aban aviyim, so long as they're not ochis maisa v'seim b'yadeim, they don't follow with the averis of their fathers. And the banim gedolim are judged on their own, and hence the banim can become pater from the chayiv kares of the father. They're not included in the onesh of kares of krisa zara of the person who's chayiv kares from the father if they are gedolim and not following his ways. And hence we can say that Rav Yosef's children were already gedolim. And the Tos Yishanim, Tos Rosh use this idea to answer as well the another kasha that the Riva asks on Rashi from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi asks, what if a person's already a zaken? He's already past the age of 60 or the age of 70. He's already much, much beyond the age of kares. And now he eats a piece of chalev and it becomes chayv in kares. How is kares meted out to him? So Yerushalmi answers, the mispisom that he dies, as the Gemara here makes reference to the kares diyomi. He suffers the onesh of kares diyomi. Again, or we can ask in Rashi, why doesn't the Gemara say simple that he'll suffer the kares of krisa zara? So again, the Tos Rosh, Tos Yishanim say, a teretz, that it could be that the Zaken's children are already gedolim, and in Banim gedolim there's no musig, there's no idea of krisa zaro, even if Rashi, which we included in the chiyuv of kares. They say also, you could say the person doesn't have children, therefore there's no way for him to suffer the idea of krisa zaro if he's already old and he's not capable of having more children, and he doesn't have children until now. But in either event, that's the so they say for Rashi, for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's children are already gedolim, and hence the element of krisa zaro was absent to him, in his situation, even with Rashi. We'll mention one more teretz. The Aruch Lener, on there on Yevamos Daf Beis, offers for Rashi. He says that which Rashi holds, that kares has within it the element of krisa zaro, that's only when it goes together with the kares deshanim. In other words, if a person has not yet hit the age of 60 and he's chayiv in kares, so then kares can be meted out to him in both respects. A, that he'll die young before the age of 60, as well as he'll suffer krisa zaro. But in the case of the Gemara, or in the case of Yerushalmi, where Rav Yosef had passed the age of 60, or the Zaken in Yerushalmi was already much older, and anyway he's not going to be chayiv the kares deshanim because he's already passed those years, and now he becomes chayiv in kares. Since anyway we can't give him the full extent of the law of both the kares deshani and the krisa zaro, so then there is no element of krisa zaro b'chlal, and the only thing which might possibly be left is a grade B type of kares, which is the kares diyomi, and that's why all Abaye asked on to Rav Yosef was about kares diyomi. He had asked about krisa zaro because he knew he had already gotten past the grade A kares, which has in it the misas banim, and that's where the Yerushalmi also only explained meis pisom, that a person who's a zaken and becomes chayv kares might suffer an immediate sudden death, but won't suffer krisa zaro because once he's already passed the age of kares as well, he don't suffer the krisa zaro of kares even lefi Rashi.
The Gemara here says, Amar Rava, chaye bani umizoni lo bischusa talya milsa ela b'mazla talya milsa, that life, children, and parnasa are not tali on one's chus, but rather on one's mazel. Now, obviously, this member of Rava is something which is nogea to the Ikari Hayashkafa, Ikari Amuna, and it's beyond really the purview of our Shiurim to really give justice to this member. But we'll just try to touch on the Roshi Prakim, what the Rishonim have to say about this member of the questions that they ask and the hagdaras that they offer. There are two basic questions that the Rishonim ask about this memra. One, already Tosis raises here in Divrei Masal Ella, that as we know, we paskin in the Gemara at the end of Shabbos, like Manamar Ein Masal Yisrael, that Yisrael doesn't have Masal. So how can the Rava say that Chai Bani Mizoni are B'Masal Atayim Milsa? The second question, which the Ritva here and other Rishonim, the Ran, others ask, is that if we read the Pesukim in the Torah, it's clear that there are many Havtachos in the Torah which relate to Chai Bani Mizoni, to success in the Olam Hazan, these Inyanim, which are Talian Zchus, that if we listen to the mitzvahs, we get rain, we get parnasa, we have children, we flourish, we prosper, we have security. And the opposite is true as well, that if we don't listen to the mitzvahs and do averus, then we get punished in these areas. So again, how can Rava say that it's lo b'schusa talia milsa? It's clear in the Pesukim of the Torah that it is. So the Rishonim offer several mahalchim. The mahalach of Tosis in the aforementioned Divrei Maskil and the Ritva is that even l'fi the man d'amar ein mazal Yisrael, the truth is the ikar determining factor of how a person is shefa in these areas of Chai Bonim Izoni is treated is actually totally in mazal. It's just that l'fi the man d'amar ein mazal Yisrael, schus can sometimes come and change a person's mazal. Tosis lashon is l'fa'amim mishtana idei mazal. And Tosis and Shabbos adds on that it's only if true if he has a schus gedola, only a schus gedola can be mishana person's mazel. And the Ritva also similarly here comments only for a tzadik gamur does a schus come and change the mazel. But by and large, for most people in most situations, even if he's under main mazel Yisrael, it is the mazel which determines a person's receiving of shefa of chai bonei umizoni. The Chidush Aran also offers such a teretz, but he writes that's only true l'fi d'man d'amar yesh mazal Yisrael. It's possible, he says, that l'fi d'man d'amar ein mazal Yisrael, that we wouldn't say that the dominant factor is a person's mazal, and a schus can sometimes change the outcome of the mazal. But we'd say that no, that it could be that mazal plays no role at all, and I call tole b'schus. The only drawback in saying this is that it would come out that this member of Rava is the local halacha because we paskin in the Gemara Shabbos that ain't mazal Yisrael. The Ran offers a second shot, that is even from man d'amar ain't mazal Yisrael, the dominant factor in fact is schus. That schus is the primary factor in determining how a person receives his chai bonei mizoni. What Rava is saying in our Gemara is lo b'schusa bilvad talya milsa. It's not the only factor. There is a secondary factor of the mazla Talia Milsa, which can also somehow, sometimes, impact the person's Chai Bonei Umizone. And the Ran says, even though this Memra, this Havana in this Memra, would make Rava Libd Hilchasa, but it's problematic to some extent in that the Gemara brings a story in the Hemshech with Rabba and Rav Chista, who are both Sadiqim, and they both daven for rain. One was answered and one wasn't, and he says, this is in this understanding, it is unlikely that the outcome of whether there was rain or it was not rain would be totally purely on mazel if we are to say that really the ikar of whether there is rain given is totally on zechus, since they're both tzaddikim, so they both should have had rain, maybe to a different extent, maybe one more rain, maybe one less rain, but to say, to assume that on account of mazel alone one would be answered and one would completely ignored, it's more difficult to say. And hence the Ran leaves this questionable whether or not the memra of Chai Bonei Mizoni is Mazal Talia Milsa can be according to Man D'amar Ein Mazal Yisrael or not. So again, until now we've seen two basic malachim. One is that the member of Rav is coming to say that the dominant factor which determines a person's Chai Bonei Mizoni is the mazal, even if the Man D'amar Ein Mazal Yisrael according to Tosis and the Ritva, or only according to Man D'amar Yesh Mazal Yisrael Lefi the Chidush Aran. What Rav is saying is that schus can sometimes play a role, but only if it's a schus gadol or for a tzaddik gamur, as the Ritva and Tosef said. And the Ran offered another possibility that the opposite is true, that really the dominant factor is the schus. And what Rav means is lo b'schusa bilvad talya milsa, el b'mazla talya milsa, the mazla can also be goreim sometimes, some differing of the effect of chai bani umizoni. It's clear, though, in all these Rishonim, that they assume that by and large, mazel applies to all situations and all types of people. However, the Trubas HaRashba comes with a completely different assumption to approaching this memra, and he writes that the entire machlokas between the Man Omer Yesh Mazel Yisrael and Eiz Mazel Yisrael only relates to Yechidim. And this is as well that the way he addresses the other question the Rishonim raised, that how do we understand the Azharis in the Torah, it's clear in the Torah that if we do the right thing, we get Chai Bani Mizoni, and if we don't, then we don't. He said that's because the Torah's Haftachos are given to the Rabbim, are given to the Tzibur. And with regard to Anhagas HaTzibur, so then it's completely totally in Schus. If the Tzibur, if Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a community, as a collective, does the mitzvot, then it's guaranteed that as a whole, as a community, we receive Chai Bani Mizoni. Does that mean every single individual necessarily will? No. In every single individual, if you hold Yesh Mazel Yisrael, then whether or not he particularly will receive the Chai Bani Mizoni is up to his mazel. And if you hold Ein Mazel Yisrael, so then it is not totally on his mazel. And Rashba concludes that, in truth, Lefivis, as the Ran already had a tzad, that this member of Rava, of Chai Bani Mizoni, La B'schus Italia Milsa, El B'maz Italia Milsa, is A, referring only to Yechidim, and B, is only Lefi the Man Omar, that Yesh Mazel Yisrael. If Ein Mazel Yisrael, that even for your Chidim, it's really the Schus, which determines whether or not a person will receive his Chai Bani Mizoni. And the Rashba comments at the end of the Tshuva, V'chein anu osim ma'isim api asvar asu. The way that we conduct our lives, he mentions Tefillah as an example, the way that we are misyaches to our hashtadlios of getting the Hatzlacha in the areas of Chai Bani Mizoni assumes that it's really the Schusim that we do, our level of mitzvahs and averus, the Schusim and the Chain that we find B'Enei Hashem, which will determine it, and not the Mazel and the Kochavim and things like that. And that's Rashi seems to assume that in the Chanami, this memra of Bani Chai Mizoni, La B'Schusa Tayim Milsa, Ella B'Mazel Tayim Milsa, is really not something that we take on the Halacha and we assume in our daily lives. There's two more Maramikomas I'll add on this topic. One is titled Look in the Drushus Haran in Drush Ches, where he's Marach Ma'od about the Nyoni Mazel, and he discusses how it applies, how it relates to the Azharas HaTorah, which one of the questions that Rishonim and Arsugya mentioned. And the other is the Hagos Ben Aryeh here in Arsugya. Here he quotes the Bir Hagra to the Zohar, where the Gra has a radically different approach to our Gemara. He completely redefines the word mazel in our Gemara. He doesn't understand mazel as Rishonim did to mean that which the kechovim and the constellations and the cosmic forces would determine what happened to a person. But mazel means the mitos harachamim of Hashem. It would appear the Gon understood that in our Gemara, where mazel is contrasted with zechus means something a person gets al pidin. He did something, therefore he deserves that bonei chayim mizoni, or he failed to do something, and he does not therefore deserves to have bonei chayim mizoni. In contrast to that is mazel. Mazel is something a person gets machmas rachamim. The midas rachamim Hashem determine that it's right for the person or it's not right for the person to receive a certain amount of bonei chayim mizoni. And then I understand very well that in these areas, the truth is many times it's not totally badin, even if a person is quote-unquote deserving of Bnei Chai Mizoni, but the Midas HaRachamim might determine otherwise, or even if a person is undeserving on the count of Schus, but Midas HaRachamim might say that Hashem will do chesed and give it to a person Bnei Chai Mizoni despite his failing on the count of Schus. We might add on the Fi the Gon, even though he doesn't, I didn't see him saying this, we know the Gemara says in the beginning of Tainus, that there are three maftechos that Hashem doesn't give to any shlichim. These are the maftech of childbirth, the maftech of geshem, and the maftech of tchias ha-mesim. It may very well be that these three maftechos correspond to the three things in our Gemara. Tchias ha-mesim is chaye, childbirth is bane, and rain is mezone, it's parnasa. And so in light of what the Gon is saying here in our Gemara, that mazel means midas harachamim, or schus seems to imply what a person deserves apidin. So we have now an ome kavana in the Gemara and Tainus. If Hashem doesn't give it to any shliach, it means Hashem doesn't send these presents of bai chai mezone, of tchias ha-mesim, of geshem, and of childbirth through the normal channels that he does, alpi schus, alpi schar va'onesh, But rather, it's all totally on him. It's all totally on his decision, kaviyachol, of the midas rachamim that Hashem decides to be give chesed where he decides, give emes where he decides. And that's perhaps another aspect, another angle, not havana that gemara, that Hashem keeps the maftechos of these inyanim for himself, kaviyachol, that it's the midas rachamim alone which determine whether a person has these things, and not his chosim. And we truth is, we experience this in life. We know that very often a person's parnasa, a person's children, a person's health, or things where despite all one's ishtadlus, one oftentimes gets a sense that it's really had nothing to do with his chusim, and it's purely totally on the chesed of Hashem. And these are the areas which we need to be boteach in Hashem and respond to him that we should have rachamim, they should give us bai chayim azoni in the proper amounts. Mishnah here on Amud Beis tells us that on the Chol HaMoed, the hespedim that the Noshim would make would only be allowed to include ma'anois, avalo, metapchis. And the Mishnah later defines for us that inui is that they would say a hesped with everyone answering together, the woe of the hesped, and tipuach, the more earlier explained for us on daf chaf zayin, meant tipuach biyad, as Rashi Ksav Yad explains, means to be Mesapik Yad Al Yad, or Rashi Megillah, Naf Gimel adds on, also they would be Mesapik their hands on their lathe. In any event, that's the Tzura of Hesped and Moed, that's only Mutter to be Ma'ana, but not to be Metapeach, which is a more extreme emotional form of Hesped. However, on Chanukah Purim Rosh Chodesh, it's even Mutter to be Ma'ana and Metapeach, but not to be Mekoinin. So it's clear that the Mishnah is drawing a distinction between Chol HaMoed, the tzura of the heter of, or the limitations on hesped and Chol HaMoed, as opposed to the ones on Chanukah Purim and Rosh Chodesh. Now the Rishonim have a very wide debate as to the nature of Avelus on Purim, which we'll examine now. And as we'll see, this Mishnah does factor an important role into determining the exact nature of Avelus on Purim. And the truth is, there are three shittos in Rishonim with regard to the nature of Avelus on Purim. And the Shittos go menakotze lekotze, from one extreme to the other. The opinion of the Shiltos and of the Sefer Miktzos, at Rush in our Sugya quotes, is that Purim is to be treated with regard to Avelus just like a regal. In other words, that Avelus is not noeg, at least Avelus Befresia, is not noeg on Purim whatsoever. And not only that, but the Sefer Miktzos and the Shiltos were mechadesh that Purim is actually mafsek avelus, just like we saw earlier in the parak, that the regalim, the ma'adim daraisa, even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the way we paskin as well, if shiva runs in or shloshim runs into one of those ma'adim, so the ma'ad is mafsek avelus. So the shiltos and the sefer miktzos maintain the same thing is true for Purim, that Purim as well is even mafsek a shiva or a shloshim. Again, that's the first sheet of the shiltos and the miktzos, that Purim is mafsek avelus. The middle shita is the shita of the Maharam Rutenberg, and that is that even though Avelus is not noeg on Purim, he agrees on that count to the Sefer Miktzos and the Shiltos, but he debates them with regard to that which Purim is mafsik Avelus. He says that Purim is treated just like Shabbos. We saw earlier in the parak that Shabbos is olav in a mafsik, that Shabbos counts as a day of Shiva, but it's not mafsik the Shiva, and as well that we came out in the sugya that Avelus Befresia is usher on Shabbos. So Purim is exactly the same. Purim counts as a day of Shiva, even though there's no Avelus Befresia, which is knowing on it, but it does still count as a day of Shiva. But it's not Mafsik, just like Shabbos. That's the shita of the Maharam Rutenberg. The third shita is the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that, just like it's Pashat, no one holds that the Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, which are the things which are mentioned in our Mishnah as well, is Mafsik Avelus. Or, in fact, is there any limitation on the Avelus Bechlal, even Avelus Beferesia, certainly knowing in Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah? The Rambam holds the same thing is true for Purim as well, and the only comparison that Purim shares with these days is the Isser Hesped, which our Mishnah mentions. We know the Mikilas Tainus, that the Gemara in Tainus and elsewhere mentions that the days of Mikilas Tainus had an Isser Hesped and an Isser Tainus, and Purim and Chanukah are what's left from that. That's all Purim has. There's no other element of the nature of the day of Purim, which would stand in contradiction to Avelus. And just like in Chanukah and Purim, Avelus is noeg legamrei. Same thing is true on Purim.
Then it's Siv in the Hamek Sheila on the Shilta there, Samach Zayin, Siv Katan Beis, explains that
these three shittas nirshonim, the shita of the Shiltos, the shita of the Rami Rutberg, and that of the Rambam, are lishitasim, and the way they understood the nature of why regalim or mevatel avelus. The Shiltos had written earlier in the Shilta Tezvav that the reason that we distinguish in Shabbos and regalim, that Shabbos is ola veinu mafsik, but regal is mafsik veinu ola, is based on the Rishonim that Shabbos has oneg. Shabbos is only mitzvah of oneg, whereas the regalim have a mitzvah of simcha. And since we know that Purim is called simcha, it says in the Megillah that it make a mishta of a simcha and the yamim of Purim, so it fits right into the category of regalim. We shouldn't compare it to Shabbos, which only has mitzvah of oneg, but rather we should compare it to the mitzvah of regalim. Mashenki and the Rami Rutenberg, he said that the reason that we're distinguishing Shabbos and regal is not on the grounds that regalim have simcha and Shabbos is oneg, but simply because Yerushalmi elsewhere said that Chazal were chalak on very practical grounds, and Tosis quoted this back in the Afchav Gimel, is that it's Efshe l'shiva b'lay regal, but Efshe l'shiva b'lay Shabbos, every shiva must contain within a Shabbos, and hence, in order to maintain the entire takana of shiva, they had to say that Shabbos is not mafsik avelus, obviously. Whereas not every shiva has a regal, and if a shiva will bump into regal, so then it'll be mevatelit. And therefore, the Nitziv explains that Ram held that the defining feature of the regal that was mevatel avelus was not the simchas regal. From the fact that Be'etzem Shabbos, had it not been that Shabbos comes every week, Shabbos, where there is no simcha, still would have been mevatel shiva, that shows us that simcha is not the reason that regalim are mafsik avelus, and therefore we can't necessarily assume just because there's an inyan of simcha on Purim that Purim would be mafsik avelus. And as far as the Rambam sheet is concerned, Rambam was of the opinion that the inyan simcha on Purim with regard to avelus began and ended with that which it says in Megillas Tainus, not to have espedim and Tainus on Purim. That's the extent to which Chazal limited one's involvement in avelus on Purim. Just that shouldn't be maspid. But anything beyond that, which is not mefurish in the Chazal, the Rambam felt we have no right to assume, since the sigas give no indication that Purim is docha avelus, then we have no reason to think that anything beyond this or hesped is involved in the inyan of the Simchas Purim. And our Mishnah, as we mentioned, there does seem to be a distinction drawn between Chol HaMoed and Purim. And this, in fact, in the Marami Rutenberg in the Hilchos Machos, raises as a question against the Sefer Mitzvos. He writes there, V'od al-karcha lo yichashiv Purim kiregolam. It cannot be that Purim is created to Yom Tovim, that it's Mafsik Avela. Sikatoni Hosam, as we say in our Mishnah, Noshim Emoed Ma'anos V'lo Metapchos. For Purim, Ma'anos U'metapchos. Since there's a difference in the level of the hesper that can be done, so it's obvious then the Purim is on the same level of steer to Avelis as Mo'aldamar, and therefore we cannot say, like the Sefer Mikzo said, that Purim is Mafsik Avelis. Now, in essence, though, our Mishnah can also be taken as a raya for the Rambam against the Marami Rutenberg, because our Mishnah, as we mentioned, also seems to equate Purim with Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh. That even though there's the Mishnah contrasts Purim with the Mo'adim, it also seems to equate Purim with Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh. And in fact, in the Tshuvos Maimonios, which is printed in the back of the Rambam, in the Sefer Shoftim, where Hilchos Avelus is to be found, he comments there on the riot that the Maram brought against the Sefer Mitzvos from our Mishnah. He says, Lo Havinosi, doesn't understand what the Maram's riot is. V'nir gam b'sham raya, da Avelus noeg b'Rosh Chodeshim v'Chanukah or Purim. Da kal humi moed, the might also be tipuach, as we mentioned. V'rosh hachadoshim v'chanukah purim shari be tipuach k'dias ha'asam. So v'chein mochiach di ka'amar nami ha'asam chanukah v'rosh hachadoshim v'hane v'ade moda rabbi denag avelus. Certainly, the Maram is moda that the avelus is noeg fully on Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, since the Mishnah seems to equate Purim with those two, it would appear that they're the same in terms of avelus as well. It would seem the Maram held that no, that even though Rosh Chodeshim and Chanukah share the element of Purim, that the limitation on the Hespedim are the same, but for totally different reasons. And Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, it's because of the nature of the Yom Tov of the day, or the Megillas Tainus, that we said in Chanukah. But in Purim, it's because of the Simcha of the day. That's what prevented the Tainus. But Maram stood by his raya that the Iker thing we see in the Mishnah is that we can distinguish between the Avelus of Purim and the Avelus of the Mo'adim. Now, in terms of the defense that we can offer for the She'iltos from our Mishnah, since our Mishnah seems to obviously distinguish between Purim and Moed, regards to Hesped, So how can the Shiltos defend his position that they're the same in terms of Avelis? So the Hamak Shela in that same piece that we mentioned earlier is Macharesh, a tremendous Chiddush in the Inyan of Simchas Amoy to answer this question. And he says, L'charetz Pashat, that when we have to do Nesiyas Amita, we have to do a Kfura on Chol Hamoed, which obviously does come up, that we don't act with Simchas Amoed, we're not actively practicing the mitzvah of Simchas Amoed during the time of the Levaya, during the time of the Nesiyas Amita. How can this be? Why isn't this a bittul of the mitzvah of Simcha? So he says a Chiddush, She'ein mitzvah Simchas Achag Tamidis B'lo Hefsik. The mitzvah of Simchas Yontif doesn't require non-stop, continuous Simcha. El havi kmo kol mitzvah zmanis, achilas matzvah, tkiah shofar, she'ein ola pamachas. Just like the other mitzvahs that come on the Moyadim require to do it once, to eat matzah, to blow shofar even once, hachanami mitzvah l'smoyach sho'achas beregel. Similarly, the mitzvah Simchas Yontif requires just to be mesameach once on the regel. And since this is the case, writes the Netziv, that which the bittul or the seeming bittul of the mitzvah of Simcha would transpire during the Levaya doesn't pose at all a problem, because as we said, Simcha does not need to be a constant emotional state of the person during all the time of the regel. It just has to be a mitzvah kumis that one does once during the regel. And hence, that which our Mishnah here distinguishes and limits the ofen and the tzura of the hespedim that can be done on Moed and on Purim has nothing to do with the Simcha of the day, because as he argues, the hespedim during the time of Siyas Amita have nothing to do with the bittul of Simcha of the regel. Rather, he says, it's just a reflection of the kavod of the yom. Chazal were concerned that the kavod of the yom would be diminished if hespedim were done the way they're done during the chol. Therefore, in order to maintain the special nature of the day, it's not a day of chol, but as a day of Kodesh, a day which reflects the special nature of Chol Hamoed, so they said, limit the way you do Hespedim, change, be Mishana, the way that Hespedim are carried out and conducted on Chol Hamoed, whereas on Purim, which doesn't have this element of Kod Hayom, so they said that the Hespedim can be more similar, even though not Lagamri similar, the Isser of Kina is also, but they can be conducted in a way more similar to the way of Chol, and is not at all a reflection of the differing nature of the Simcha of the day between Simchas Hamoed and Simchas HaPurim. And that's why the Shiltos actually equates them and says that the Simcha both of the Moed and of the Purim can be Mevat Lavelos Lagamri. And this obviously is very big Chiddush. It's Yadua that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, was known to have commented that the hardest mitzvah in the entire Torah, the hardest mitzvah I say in the entire Torah to keep, was the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel, because it requires a person to be b'simcha for the entire 7 or 8 day period straight of the entire regel. And of course, Gaon didn't just mean to be in a happy, jovial mood, but he meant Simchas HaMoed, a real simcha of connection to Hashem, a simcha of Dveikas b'Hashem. And he said this is the most difficult mitzvah to mekayim. The Netziv here is saying that, no, it's just like any other mitzvah zmanis, which can be done once during the Meha regel. It doesn't even say once a day. He says even once during the entire regel, it seems it's enough to be mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha. And the Tshuvas Moadim Zmanim from Moshe Sternbach Shlita, he writes about this in Tziv, Dvarav Tzarech in Tuva, to the Pashas nearest mitzvah Simcha, Ein Lehef Tziv B'chol HaRegel. The simple pshat is, like the Gra holds, that there is no end or beginning to the mitzvah Simcha. It's a constant mitzvah for the days of the regel to be b'simcha, and hence he rejects the Netziv. And he offers an alternative defense of the Shiltos from the Marami Ritamari's question from our Mishnah. Rav Sternbach there conceives of the whole mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov in a completely different light. He supposes and theorizes that there are two inyanim of the Simcha of Yom Tov. One is to do pu'ulos, to take actions to bring oneself towards a state of Simcha. For men, this includes Achilas Basar and Shias Yayin. For women, it's acquiring new clothes, big ditzavonim. For children, it's klais vegozim, doing pu'ulos to put oneself in a state of mind of simcha. And the second component of simcha of Yom Tov is the mood one should be in, that one should try to have a tuv lev, a simcha salev, throughout the days of Yom Tov as much as possible. In the first union, he agrees, it's true, it's enough to do once a day to be mekayim the union of the pu'ula, the activity of brings for simcha, it's sufficient to once a day eat meat, drink wine, etc., to bring about simcha. But the other element of a Simchas Yom Tov, of being Metuv Lev and having Simchas Alev, that is a mitzvah to have the entire time. Like the Gemara said, that's the mitzvah of being B'Simcha, not B'Atzvas, in one's Lev, the entire period of the Yom Tov. He says, though, that to be Mekayim, the Inyan of Simchas Alev, it's sufficient if we're Mashana in the way that we do the Hesped and the Levaya. Inasmuch as our Mishnah limits how we perform the Hespedim on Chol HaMoed, so that already shows that there's an Inyan of Simcha, that there's a background Simcha, which we need to keep in the back of our minds, even during the time of the Nesias Amita, the time of the Kfura. So even though we don't have a full-fledged Simcha, obviously, as the Nesiv wrote, but there isn't a bit of the Mitzvah of Simcha, inasmuch as we're Mashana in the way that we do the Hespedim on Chol HaMoed.
So that's the machlokas we have between the Gra and the Nesiv, whether or not the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel is a constant one, and how it plays out for the defense of the She'iltos from our Mishnah, from the question the Maharami Rutenberg asked on him.
There is another important halacha which arises from this Mishnah, which discusses how the Noshim perform the Hespedim on Chol HaMoed, and that is the issue of Chiyav Noshim in Simchas Yom Tov, and in particular how that relates to the Avelis of Noshim on Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah is clear that even for Nashim, there is a limitation on how they can do the Hespedim. And we'll begin discussing this issue with the Kasha of the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael asks seemingly a totally side question, which is that we know Kol B'Yish Erva. The Gemara Bracha says that it's also for a man to hear the women raising their voices in song. And he asks him, Cain, how then are the women ever permitted to do the tipuach, or do the inui, or the kinos, and described in the Mishnah, which l'chore involves some kind of sing-song type of voice that the women were amplifying their voices to say. So he answers, the name of his father, that perhaps at the time that this mace is mutalafon, at the time of the levaya, so the yitzhar is not present, and he's Doch, his father's teretz, based on a variety of Gemaras, and he comes out that at least at the time of the Nesias Amita, at least at the time when they're actually carrying the mace towards the kever, at least during that time, we're not choshish for the Tzahara, and Amela, we allow the women to give the Hespedim and do the kinos and the tipuchim, despite the issue of Kol B'Yisha Erva. Now, the assumption that Tzveres Yisrael is obviously making is that these sounds that the Noshim were making now were also being heard by the men who were present at the Levaya and the Nesias Amita. The Tveres Yaakov, which is a pirush on the Tveres Yisrael, he says, Mechitesi. He writes, Umi Higidlo, Demari Yikan, Bitarubas Anoshim. How did Tveres Yisrael know that we're discussing here, that there are men here? Perhaps there's a separate section where the women are cordoned off, and the women can be Masbid and Anam Itapeach on their own, and the men aren't hearing Bechlal what the women are saying, and therefore the whole question is a moot point. Now, it may be that this issue of contention between the Tiferes Yisrael and the Tiferes Yaakov, whether or not we can assume that the women in our Mishnah are being heard by men or not, is going to be dependent on the overarching question, are women mechuyavos in Simchas Yom Tov? Because if women are not going to be mechuyavos in Simchas Yom Tov, as we'll see some makoros about that in a moment, so it very well would be that we wouldn't limit Bechlal had the women wanted to be Masbid on Chol HaMoed, because for them, Simchas Yom Tov doesn't exist. Whereas if the men are going to hear the Tzura in which the women are Masbid, that would dampen their Simchas Yom Tov. So then we would dictate to the women how they would be able to be Masbid and limit their expression of Hespedim, etc. And that would be in line with the Tiferes Yisrael assume that, in fact, the women, the men are hearing the men, are hearing the women, and we need to deal with the question of Kol B'Yisha Erva. Now, already the Shagas Aryeh discusses this issue of women mechuyavos in Simchas Yom Tov. It's Yadua, famously, Reb Kiv Eger, in the very first Tshuva, and Tshuvas Reb Kiv Eger addresses this issue. And he's actually discussing there a woman who forgot on Yom Tov, in benching, forgot to say Yav Yavo, that she needs to go back. So Reb Kager there suggests a chiddush, that women are not mechuyavos in mitzvah se shazman grama. So it would seem that the mitzvah se of Oneg and Simchan Yom Tov falls into that category of a mitzvah se shazman grama, that women are not mechuyavos in. Even though we know that the mitzvah of kiddush on Shabbos, and it's what the other mitzvahs say of Shabbos, for example, Lechem Mishnah and Gemal Sudos, things like that. Some Rishonim say the women are mechuyavos for various reasons. Those reasons, the Rukega writes, are limited to Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, the question of whether women are mechuyavos in Simchan Oneg would rise and fall on the question of mitzvah seishas mangrama, and it would appear then to be that women are in fact pturos, and therefore, if a woman, since a woman isn't bechal mechuyav in Suda on Yom Tov, she could even fast if she wanted. Rukeger says, therefore, if she forgot Yal V'Yavo on Yom Tov, she would not be required to repeat benching. In the Hashmatos of the Shuvah, Rukeger goes on and explicitly discusses the question, are women mechuyavos in Simchan Yom Tov? And he writes there, Shabbat Tali on the Machlokas, Rambam and the Raibid, in Hilchos Chagiga, they're discussing the chiyuv of women and bringing the karbonos of Shalmei Simcha, and it relates to Sugya and Kiddushin, the Flam Dalet, where Abaye there is of the opinion that Isha Bala Mesamcha, that an Isha is not mechuyuv to bring the Shalmei Simcha because she doesn't have her own independent chiyuv of Simcha, but rather, her Baal, her husband, is Mesamecher, and that's the opinion of the Ravid, that's the Ravid Paskins, whereas the Rambam Paskins said, no, Isha is Mechuyavos in Karbon Shalmi Simcha. So Rukeger says, L'chora, the question of whether women are Mechuyavos in Simcha and Yom Tov should be the Pali on the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ravid. And Rukeger there adds on that the Rambam Shita, that holds that the women are Mechuyavos in Simcha, that only relates to the Isra of Hesped Vitainis, that because they're mechuyev to be b'simcha, then they need to refrain from doing things which are anti-simcha, and they need to engage in ways of promoting simcha. But they're not actually mechuyev, they actually have a suda, and therefore he stands by his p'sak that achilas pas for a woman isn't a chiyev gomor on Yom Tov like it is for men, and hence if a woman forgot Yal V'Yavo on Yom Tov, she would not be required to go back. So now, an obvious question we can raise on Rav Kager's understanding of the Ravid in this issue, that he understands the Ravid means kipshuto, that a woman is not mechuyev in simcha at all, she could even do hesped v'tainis, according to the Shittas of Ravid. How is Ravid going to learn our Mishnah? If our Mishnah clearly says there are limitations and boundaries as to how much hesped and kinos women are allowed to express on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. If a woman were not mechuyev b'chlal in Simcha and Yom Tov to the point where hesped and tainis would be permitted for them, so how can our Mishnah limit the way they do hespedim on Chol HaMoed for the women? So again, as we said, if we assume, like the Tiferes Yaakov, that the women's hespedim are not being heard by the men, then this is a very valid question. But if Rabbi Avikager assumed, like Tiferes Yisrael, that the women's hespedim are going to be heard by the men, so the pshat could be that it's true, as far as the women are concerned, they could be masbid and be misana, but their hesped, if it's going to be heard by men, is going to affect negatively the simchan yomtiv of the men, and since the men are mechuyev in simchan yomtiv, so the Rabbanan said that women need to put a limit on how their masbid as well on Chol HaMoed, so as not to interfere too much with the simcha yomtiv of men. Now, the truth is, though, the entire assumption of Rabbi Kiviger that the question of avelus or hesped or tainus for women on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov is dependent on whether or not they're mechuyev b'simcha is really a very big chiddush, because it should really come out according to the pashtus or the Kager's assumption that at least according to the Ravid Shita that Isha Baila Mesamcha, that a woman who is Rachman Atzlan in Avela and her Avelis bumps into Yom Tov, that for her the regal should not be Mavata the Avelis, because we don't have the element of simcha, which Gemara said earlier in Nafi Dalad, is mevata la'avelus for a woman, if a woman isn't mechuyev in simcha, and this is something which you won't find anywhere, nor does it say any of the poskim, any of the rishonim, that there's a difference in men and women with regard to how the regal is mafsik, their avelus. Therefore, it would appear to be a very big chiddush to say that a woman's heter to be misabel on regal is going to be related to whether or not she's mechuyev in simcha. Truth is, it is worth noting, there's a Chuvas Amud Or. He discusses there a child that happened to him. His wife was Nifteris on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and he debates there whether or not it was mutter for him and his family to cry on the regal. And he concludes there that he was matir for his daughters who were the children of the Nifteres, in combination with the Shita that holds that women aren't mechuyavos and simcha on Yantif, Isha Baila Mesamcha. Since they weren't mechuyavos and simcha on Regel, he felt it was mutter for his daughters to be permitted to cry on the Regel over the death of their mother. So he did seem to be assuming, like Rav Kager here in the Hashmatos, that a woman's connection to the mitzvah simcha impacts her ability to be misabel or her heter to be misabel on Yantif. But as we said, this is very bechidish. We don't find anywhere that the way Regel relates to the veils of women is treated any differently than that of men. And therefore, it would seem that the simpler pshat is that even if we select derived that Isha Baila Misamcha, that relates to the chiyuvim, which are the positive pu'ulos the women or men must do to generate Simchas Yomtiv, be it to bring Shalmi Simcha, or perhaps to eat bas or v'yayin, things like that. But with regard to the actual nature of the day, keeping the day a day of simcha, maintaining the quality of the day of a special one, a day of a moed, it's certain that women, even if they're not actually personally mechuyev in doing actions which promote simcha, but it's definite that they can't undertake actions which are soser simcha, which bring about the opposite of simcha, which bring about avelus. And therefore, for a woman to be noheg any avelus on the regel would certainly be a contradiction to the nature of the day, even if she personally is mechuyev in simcha. And therefore, as well, with regard to hespedim, even if the Teferis Yaakov is right, that the men aren't hearing the women bichlal doing the hespedim that are permitted in the Mishnah because of Kol B'Yisha Erva, but only women are hearing it. But still, even though women possibly are not mechuyevos on a personal level in simcha, but it's certain that the Chazal wouldn't allow women to do hespedim in the normal tzura, because that would detract from the etzem nature of the day, of a day of moed, a day of regal, a day which is infused with simcha that Kadosh Baruch Hu set for us. And therefore, irrespective of the actual chiv of women in simcha, it's likely that hespedim would be curtailed so as not to contradict that special nature of the day. And l'chor, there's a raya pshuta to this from the Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah itself says that, although not to the same degree as we discussed earlier, but there's a limitation as to how the hesped is done on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. So even though on Purim, perhaps, as we discussed, there isn't any simcha, but on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, there certainly is no mitzvah simcha bechlal. It's a special day. It's a day which has a special character, a special nature to it. It's a day of Yom Tov, or a day of special moed, but it's not a day of simcha. And so we see clearly from the halacha of Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah that the actual chiyuv or mitzvah simcha on the day of the regel has absolutely no bearing on the limitations of hespedim or of avelis in our Mishnah, but rather has to do with simply contradicting the special nature of the day that Chazal were interested in. And another right to this, it would appear to be Shabbos. You know, there's a discussion among some of the Rishonim, is there an inyan of Simcha on Shabbos? There's a Bahag, which writes, there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos, and famously the Sifri, Darshan's Apostling and Parshas Baloscha, B'yom Simchaschem, the Shabbos, and the Zohar always refers to Shabbos as the Yom HaDechevasa, the day of Simcha. But already many Mechaberim assume that it doesn't actually mean that there's a chiyuv of mitzvah simcha on Shabbos, the same way that we're familiar with it on Yontif, that on Yontif it's mechayivas to have basar, v'yayin, and do certain pu'ulos, which are objectively defined as pu'ulos of simcha. Rather, it means, on Shabbos, one needs to put aside all of his mundane concerns. Like the Chazal say, it's nearer to a person, kilo kol malachto asuya, on Shabbos, he's not concerned with any of the inyani olam hazeh. He lives a life on a level, a plane of Me'en Olam Haba, and that certainly is a way of living which brings simcha to a person. If he doesn't have the worries of Malachto, he has full bitachon in Hashem, he knows that Hashem is creating everything, taking care of everything for him, that's obviously a level of simcha. But it doesn't actually mean that it's mechuyev the mitzvah of simcha. Yet nonetheless, we know it's an Isser Gomor to be misabel on Shabbos, to have a spedim, to have tainus on Shabbos, all these things are steered to the character of Shabbos. So again, we see from the halacha of Shabbos that the limitations of a spedim or of avelus that we find in any given day aren't per se linked to the chi of simcha that exists on that day. But just as we see in Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, Shabbos as well is an example of a day where even if there is no chi of simcha, but because avelus or hesped would contradict the quality of the day, Chazal asked it. And therefore, the same thing might be true for women on Yom Tov, even if Kfil Shitas arrived that Isha Baila Masamcha, Isha isn't personally Mechuyavis in Simchas Yom Tov, but that's only regards to the Pu'ulos which generate and promote Simcha, the Pu'ula of bringing Shalmei Simcha, or of having Basar V'yayin. But with regard to Avelis or Hesped, as is the subject of our Mishnah, there are no grounds to say that a woman would be treated any differently, that she would not be allowed to contradict the character of the Moed.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.